Resources and Renewable Resources, Dr. Kessel.
Thank you, Earl. After all these wonderful performances that have been put on, I feel like I should come flying in the door and lay my egg. Seriously, I'd rather look forward to this presentation, the opportunity to talk with the members of the Regents again about our program in the College of Biological Sciences. Been looking forward to it ever since the last time we taught, had the opportunity in 1962. The College of Biological Sciences is the academic college responsible for the instruction to students in all fields of the life sciences, both the basic and the applied. Basic fields such as botany, zoology, microbiology, physiology, mammalogy, parasitology, ecology, and so on, and also the applied fields such as wildlife management, fisheries biology and management, range and watershed management, forestry, land use and classification, wild land recreation, agriculture, medical sciences, and so on. We're impressed with our potential magnitude of the contribution of our college that we can make to the welfare of society and people of Alaska. Very much enthused about the challenges and the opportunities that are ahead of us. We feel that among our challenges, for instance, are, of course, the education of Alaska's youth for tomorrow, the providing of pre-professional training in our medical professions, the providing of full medical training in the paramedical professions, the training of future teachers of biology, both for secondary schools and for colleges, the training of future managers at both the professional and sub-professional fields to assist in the wise development and utilization of Alaska's vast, rich potential of natural renewable resources, both on the wild and the cultivated lands. Our college is composed of three departments: the Department of Biological Sciences, which is primarily responsible for the basic studies, the Department of Land Resources and Agricultural Science, and the Department of Wildlife Management. We currently, in the college, have 14 faculty members who have their main base of operation within the college. I have handed out to you a copy of our graduate flyer. One of the reasons for this is listed down here are the faculty members and their major subject matter areas of interest, and also an indication of the level of their training of these people who have their major stations within the college. In addition to these 14 people, we can list another dozen or more people who are currently, right now, more than nominally involved in our college programs. There are two people from the Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit, about four of them from the U.S. Public Health Service's Arctic Research Laboratory, one from the Alaska Water Laboratory, one from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, one from the Alaska Agricultural Station, Experiment Station, and one from the U.S. Army Terrestrial Science Center, plus Dr. Van Cleve from our university's Forest Soils Program. Boiling everything down, we have what we calculate to be about 12 full-time teaching equivalents in the college. But mixed into this 12 full-time teaching equivalents, you see from what's before you and the list that I gave you of cooperating people, that we have quite a good breadth of talent represented in the college. Incidentally, of these 12 full-time teaching equivalents, 1 1/6 of these is completely financed through federal funds. Eventually, we'll have to pick up the tab, but one of them next year and the other one 2 years from now. We have 215 students who are considered that they have majors within the department. Since 1960, pretty consistently, 10% of the student body have had majors in the college. I have always bragged that we have the second and the third largest departments in the university represented in the college, that is the Department of Wildlife Management and Biological Sciences, after education. But if I hear we really have 100 majors in psychology, I'm going to have to put wildlife management down to 4. I'm going to have to go and contest that. Anyway, we have 30 of these 215 students are graduate students. In other words, 14% of our majors are graduate students within the college. Half of them are lower division students. That's 51% are lower division students. The remaining 35%, of course, then being the upper division students. We are pleased particularly with a recent trend that has been occurring in the increasing demand for our upper division and graduate offerings within the college. For instance, in 1967, last fall, when the university did not get a very big increase in enrollment, partly because of the flood in the Fairbanks area, the number of credit hours total in our college that were taught went up about 15%. But the upper division courses that were credit hours that were taken within the college had a 21% increase. This year, over last year we had 21%, and on top of that this year, we've had a 23% increase in upper division credit hours taught in the college. We, as I say, are pleased particularly with this trend because it shows that we are developing programs on this campus in our area which are now holding our upper division students and our graduate students. Previously, we would get many students who would come for freshman, sophomore year, and then transfer to the larger institutions. Also, we are getting quite a large number of transfer students that are beginning to come to the University of Alaska for the advanced work in the major fields. The college currently has undergraduate curricula leading to Bachelor of Arts degrees in Biological Sciences and Bachelor of Science degrees in Biological Sciences, Fisheries Biology, Medical Technology, and Wildlife Management. In addition, we offer pre-professional work. I say pre-professional because these students don't usually get their degrees here, but they will leave here prior to their degrees and go out to professional schools. But they, for those schools that require preliminary academic training, we can give it in medicine, dentistry, veterinary medicine, nursing, physical therapy, forestry, agriculture, and so on. By offering this pre-professional work, we feel that Alaskans can stay here somewhat longer in their training, and after they go out for their professional work, the chances of coming back to Alaska is greater than if they had had none of their training here at all. At the baccalaureate level, we feel that our primary goal is a liberalizing education for our student, one that opens up the student's minds to new thoughts and ideas. So much better expressed, I should say, by the Arts and Letters people. In addition, we attempt to provide a background in the basic sciences and a sound foundation in the basic principles of biology. And then, insofar as is possible at the baccalaureate level, we provide as much professional training as we can in order to supply immediate manpower needs in Alaska. At the graduate level, the college has programs leading to a Master of Science degree in biology, botany, zoology, fisheries biology, and wildlife management. In addition, we offer a Master of Arts in Teaching program in biology. In addition, through the university's interdisciplinary, or sometimes called the special attention program, we have started master's degree programs in the Department of Land Resources, and we have 3 PhD students working within the college, one in wildlife management, one in recreation, and one in zoology. And we are currently preparing a proposal for the establishment of a regular PhD program within the college. As major objectives in graduate study, we aim to fill in the student's subject matter background in his chosen field, both his major and supporting fields, provide a depth of background and understanding in his chosen specialty, and to provide training in research. In this respect, we look upon the thesis or the dissertation part of the student's graduate training as a training mechanism in research. In addition to the teaching program of the college, we attempt to maintain an active research program on the part of our faculty. Such research, we feel, is an essential ingredient of the instructional program. Research, or some other form of creative or professional development, is essential to the professional well-being of our individual faculty members. And if it's good for the professional well-being, it's essential to the health of the academic programs within the colleges. Active research programs on the part of the faculty members are also essential to the building and the maintenance of any kind of a graduate program. And as I've indicated, we already have 30 graduate students within the college. And without viable research and graduate programs, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, for our colleges to attract and hold quality faculty and hence develop a quality instructional program. This is both at the graduate and the undergraduate level. Unfortunately, for a number of reasons, ranging from heavy teaching loads to mechanisms of budgeting and financial management, the environment for research within the college structure isn't very good. We beat the problem, in some instances, by working through the research institutes where the climate is considerably better. We have, for instance, several faculty members at the moment who are working their research projects through the Institute of Marine Sciences. Unfortunately, the established laboratories, however, do not cover all of the fields of endeavor that we have to cover at the undergraduate level and for our faculty members, so there is not an appropriate institute or laboratory always available for our faculty members. So this is one of the problems that we are facing in our challenges to straighten out, and that is to try and improve the environment within the colleges for research. So much then for an overview of our instructional and our research programs in the college. I would like now to introduce successively the department heads within the college and have them tell you more in detail some of the objectives and future plans of the specific programs within the college. First, the Department of Biological Sciences, the department head, Dr. James E. Morrow.
I would like to divide my brief presentation into about three parts, covering our basic aims, the recent activities and current trends within the department, and our plans and hopes for the future. I'm told I have to do this in 5 minutes, I hope I can. As Dean Kessel said, the basic aim of the college, and of course of the department within the college, is to provide the best education we possibly can for our students. This includes biology, both with botanical and zoological orientation, biology for its own sake. It includes the pre-professional training in medicine, veterinary medicine, dentistry, so forth and so on. And very important, since a large percentage of our student credit hours come from these regions, it includes support for the applied departments, or more applied departments, in the areas of wildlife, fisheries management, land resources, and so forth. And finally, it includes support within the area of biology in general for the entire university academic program. Our recent activities have been concentrated in the past year or so in the area of curriculum revision. This does not mean that we have not engaged in this before, because we have. But I think in this past year, we have accomplished a really major step forward, one of which we currently feel very proud, and I hope that nothing will happen to it to make us feel less that way. I think we're going to find that this is a really fine curriculum setup that we have going into effect next fall. Our new setup is much more flexible than it has been in the past. designed primarily to allow the better trained high school students who are coming through nowadays to proceed at a much more rapid rate than was possible previously. And yet at the same time, to permit the less well-trained student to progress at his own somewhat slower rate without putting him at a disadvantage. This I am confident we have accomplished, and we'll be able to tell you more about it after it's been in effect for a year or two. The major difference, I think, is that we now have a stepwise organization of the curriculum, with each course or group of courses providing a firm stepping stone from which to take off to the next course or group of courses. Our previous organization I might liken to a basketball floor, in which the player could move any direction on a single plane. Our present organization, I think, is much more like an amphitheater, which still retains a good deal of horizontal flexibility, but allows vertical flexibility as well in a stepwise progression. This is going to have great advantages for us in the future, I know, because it will allow us to provide something that is, I think, vitally necessary, and that is the development of an honors program or special attention program or whatever term you want to give it, in which the student is put pretty much on his own in association with one or two faculty members to advise and guide him. Now this, of course, is a program designed primarily for the exceptional students, and if my current classes are any indication, it's going to have a big clientele. For the future, we are giving ourselves a very thorough, sharp scrutiny to see what we have, what we don't have, and what we need. The department began with a very strong ecological orientation, primarily by default. We had no laboratory spaces, we had virtually no office spaces. Anyone who wanted to do research work was constrained to do it outdoors. So this naturally led to a very strong orientation towards ecology. We're much better off now than we used to be that way, and we would like to get into some of the other aspects of biology which are no less important than is ecology. First, we would think seriously about someone who was trained in systems ecology. The central hub of organization around which all other aspects of this field may be said to rotate. And although we have a strongly oriented staff, oriented towards ecology, we do not at the present time have a systems ecologist on our staff. We should also consider seriously the matter of modern genetics. This is a field which has made such rapid strides in the past few years that it is virtually incomprehensible to someone who took his genetics training as little as 5 years ago. We must also increase our strength in the biochemical approach to such areas as physiology, microbiology, taxonomy, ecology, so forth and so on. Again, due to the development of modern thought and modern techniques, we are finding more and more that ordinary, old-fashioned observational biology, even in the field, is not adequate. And we must be able to interpret our field observations in terms of what is popularly called molecular biology, because it is becoming more and more apparent that the basic explanations for such matters as behavior may very well lie at the molecular level. And behavior, indeed, is another area in which we lack strength and in which we should have strength in order to buttress the work in ecology, in genetics, in physiology, and so forth and so on. think that's about all I have to say. I'll turn it back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Next, Dr. Dwayne Sykes, the head of the Department of Land Resources and Agricultural Science.
Thank you. The Department of Land Resources and Agricultural Sciences is, I think, the newest department on campus and the smallest. It was initiated last year, and I was the first head of the department just a year ago. It's essentially an expansion of the agriculture department to emphasize the science of wild land utilization. I think I best define what land resources really entails then. In addition to what we all are acquainted with, domestic agriculture, this includes the wild land sciences, which are forestry, watershed management, outdoor recreation, range management, land use and classification, and wildlife, which is in a separate department, which we'll discuss later. The objective of all this, then, is in wild land utilization, is wise and sustained utilization of our renewable natural resources. I think maybe a few words in order to why this is an important program for the university here. In several respects, it's intuitively obvious. In other respects, it's very much obscured and misunderstood. Historically, the area of natural resources has been one which has historically been neglected or left until some sort of pressures are strongly brought to bear to bring about developments. However, there is a very distinct national trend underway during the last decade to emphasize the area of renewable natural resources, and many of the institutions, state institutions in our NOAA 48, have expressed this by creating new programs, new centers, or renaming, reorienting their old centers to include the philosophy of natural resources. Some 50 institutions have either created or renamed their units to express this natural resource emphasis. Secondly, of course, we're all completely aware of Alaska's fame and fame as a treasure chest of natural resources, both renewable and non-renewable. Of course, my remarks pertain to the renewable resources. These are principally resources which are associated with the marine areas surrounding Alaska or with the land as such. And our interest, of course, is with those in the land resources. Now, Alaska not only has a much greater quantity of natural resources than any other area, but its relative dependence on natural resources is much greater than any other state. Because of this, this of course explains why it's important for the university to be involved and integrally working in programs that stress and emphasize the development and both economic and educational and scientific progress in the areas of the renewable natural resources. And because of this overall situation and the importance of the natural resources to Alaska, we really try to find the build a strong program within the university emphasizing this. However, in the growth to date, we haven't had the complete emphasis on these, and in some cases, voids have been developed as the growth of the university has come about in such a strong and forward-moving fashion. Specifically, forestry, for example, which is our third major industry of economic activity in the state, we And especially, now this has been primarily activity in the southeastern part of the state, of course, but during the past year, especially, this has been aimed much more toward the interior, and we're all anticipating very significant developments in the interior parts. We are not in a good position to provide the scientific basis for this development on forestry. Currently, approximately less than half of 1% of the state appropriations to the university are invested in forest-oriented endeavors. Outdoor recreation and tourism are a fourth, essentially a four-fourth in the ranking of areas or industries of economic activity in the state. This is an area that we haven't gotten into at all yet. Fisheries, the second ranked area, has some very distinct land-oriented aspects, particularly land and watershed effects on streams and spawning areas, and also with the tremendous activity of the minerals and petroleum industry is going to have a tremendous effect on the land surface as such. The land itself is probably our greatest overall resource. This is the reason for having the Department of Natural Resources as such. Although the land area is not, perhaps, is more of a potential at this stage. When such occurrences as the Fairbanks flood a year ago happened, we very strongly have brought to our attention the effects of land management, and very quickly asked ourselves, what can we do about watershed protection? What are the basis on which to attack the problem, such as the Fairbanks flood and its comments? So this then indicates why we're concerned with developing programs in this department. The objective then of the Department of Land Resources is to train scientists and managers for effective work on Alaska's renewable resource potentials and their problems. The scope is somewhat unusual in this department in that it is to be a being developed as a graduate training and a research program. Now, to date, our development course, being a new department, it's not very far along yet. But we are not endeavoring to provide a program in the undergraduate, a degree yielding program for undergraduates. These, we feel, we cannot afford to provide at this time, and this training can be obtained in the lower 48 of the several institutions. However, at the graduate level, training which is obtained there is not applicable to the cold regions problems which we have at either the MS or PhD level and much of the research. For that reason, we have concentrated on developing a graduate program which is going to train people for the Alaskan problems and at the same time provide solutions to the Alaskan problems. This is, by necessity, it has to be dovetailed or correlated with a research program. Graduate training is an expensive program. However, research done through graduate students is a very inexpensive means of accomplishing research, and for this reason, the program is dovetailed together. The thing we want to develop is a program which is distinctly applicable to the needs of Alaska, both present and in the future. Several of the state agencies have expressed quite an interest in this program that is being developed, and we've had letters and comments from several of them, of organizations such as the Bureau of Land Management, the Forest Service, Alaska Loggers Association, the Soil Conservation Service, the Association of Soil Conservation Subdistricts. As far as the mode of operation, the agricultural research is taken care of in the Agriculture Experiment Station. The graduate students, which would work through this, would be in the Department of Land Resources and Agricultural Sciences. The wildland sciences, except for wildlife, are in their infancy here at the university. For these, we need to develop the research and the academic sites for this work. As far as student retention for recruiting students, I think this is excellent, because any student who is in the area of renewable natural resources is almost naturally interested in working in Alaska by the basis for the reason he chose this as a profession. So I think we can attract students very easily through this. Our program is a collaborative program. There are several state and federal agencies working on the fringe areas, some of them working on the core areas, as well as several staff members within the university. We have tapped these folks and are tapping them to the max. There are 18 PhDs in Fairbanks and 8 people with master's degrees who are, have expressed interest in working in this program with students or with and with the graduate program. These are primarily in the areas of soils, forest and plant ecology, watershed, microclimatology, resource economics, and horticulture. In addition, there are 15 scientists in the experiment station in Palmer who are working on the logistics for graduate program to do which I will attend. One of the projects which we have underway right now is a watershed research project, which has been encouraged by several of the federal and state agencies and is a multi-agency endeavor being conducted, being set up by the university. This involves about 8 of the federal and state agencies and a dozen collaborators from these agencies, including several agencies and other units in the university. To treat the research aspects of this correlated work with the graduate program, we have requested a land resources research laboratory. Because, for example, the watershed research work, which our graduate students will be working, is not adaptable to be dovetailed or placed in any of the ongoing research institutes. Indeed, the Forest Soils program is to date separated or held separate because it doesn't quite fit in any of the ongoing ones. We have requested the Land Resources Research Laboratory. It has been put into the current budget, which is going to the current legislature, in an attempt to provide a working site for these renewable natural resource areas.
Next, Mr. Sam Harville, assistant professor of biometrics. He is acting as the head of the Department of Wildlife Management in the absence of Dr. Fred Dean, who is on sabbatical leave this year.
The department's basic objectives, which are largely responsible for the shaping of our curriculum, but which we are now seriously reevaluating, briefly can be stated as follows. First, to produce professional level wildlife and fisheries biologists. Second, to conduct and publish research in the fields of wildlife and fisheries biology and management. Third, contribute to a greater general understanding of applied ecology. And fourth, contribute to the development of more effective methods of teaching. Stated objective, the one to produce professional level wildlife and fisheries biologists, is the prime one that has shaped our curriculum, and it is the one that we feel may be far too limited in scope. Of necessity, we have made a distinction between the professional wildlife and fisheries biologist and those individuals who need or have fewer demands for a solid theoretical education, but who may still work in a resource area, in a resource management agency. We have not made a quality judgment against the latter group, because we have shaped our undergraduate curriculum primarily for the professional biologist, either wildlife or fisheries. Rather, we realize that the faculty of the Wildlife Management Department was too small and not diverse enough in interest to permit us to have very diverse offerings. We had to restrict the offerings that were possible for us. Further, we felt that the need was greatest in the state for biologists, and we felt that we were best qualified to produce professional biologists. Hence, we tailored our undergraduate program to those students who would, by and large, pursue graduate studies. We feel, however, that with the social changes in the state and in the nation, and with the increased demands on the resources, that we need to increase the scope of our undergraduate education. We feel that we need a terminal program, a four-year program, and we are reshaping our undergraduate curriculum so that we can accommodate those students. People who will serve as law enforcement officers in a resource agency, conservation education, fisheries and wildlife technicians, and so forth. Such students need a broad education and essentially a liberal arts core, but with an application to and an appreciation of wildlife management and wildlife conservation. They need an appreciation of the knowledge existing in such related subjects as biology, mathematics, and so forth. But they do not need in-depth knowledge. They need an appreciation of its application, however. We also feel that we need an additional option in our undergraduate program to accommodate individuals who will be in the management phase of resource agencies. As I said, we have designed our program primarily for biologists. And perhaps I can make the distinction between the two options by pointing out what I consider the biologist task and what I consider the manager's task. The biologist will collect the information about the biology of the species and information about pertinent environmental factors that influence that species. On the basis of the knowledge that the biologist has obtained, he will make recommendations to the manager regarding hunting seasons, perhaps, if we're dealing with a game species. The manager will receive this information, but the manager needs much more than just information about the animal species. First off, he needs to know what constitutes yield to the population as a whole. Is this species just important, say, for meat? Is it important as a trophy animal? Is it important, perhaps, just as a species that occurs near a road system and is very accessible to tourist travel, tourists in Scotland, humans, animals? So he must evaluate then any social changes that occur that will characterize what is really yield as far as the species is concerned. He must also be able to appreciate what other demands are being made on perhaps that particular resource, but also on other resources that influence the animal species that the specific recommendations may be made about. So the manager will need a much different education than the biologist. We feel that the needs are sufficiently great that we should meet the demands for both the terminal program and the manager program. And we are reshaping our curriculum. I should point out that the Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit, which Dean Kessel mentioned, strengthens our graduate program greatly. The leader and assistant leader in the unit essentially act as faculty members in the Department of Wildlife Management whenever any curriculum decisions are made. Furthermore, the unit is financed by the Fish and Wildlife Service, but receives research funds from other federal agencies and other state agencies, particularly the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Those research funds are sufficient to fund approximately 7 research fellowships, graduate students either at the master's or PhD level. Were it not for that research funding, it would be very difficult to maintain the graduate program at the level that we do have in the Department of Wildlife Management. One of the prime concerns to us in both our undergraduate and graduate program is the question of generalization versus specialization. We feel that in the graduate program in particular, and in that part of our undergraduate program where we are training students that will eventually be graduate students, that imparting the generalist view is extremely important, because most of those individuals will eventually move into administrative positions in resource agencies. Unless they have a generalist view, but at the same time, they may require some specialist talent, especially in biological areas. Unless they have the generalist's view, they will not be able to appreciate the proper placement of fish and game management in the entire resource picture. And we feel that the successful implementation of the land resources program in the Department of Land Resources is critical to ours, in that that program will aid us greatly in imparting this generalist's view.
I'd like to take the time to just briefly mention several other biologically oriented programs in which we are involved in the college. We haven't mentioned anything about associate level programs, mainly because the ones that we're interested in forming are not really quite applicable to the college campus here. One of the programs that we've worked closely in conjunction with the statewide services is a program which I'm quite sure you're all fairly familiar by now, is the program for an associate level degree in fisheries technology. It's described in this booklet which came out earlier this year, and there are extra copies available here for those that need it. We are requesting funds for this program in the current budget proposal to the legislature. It's a program that we hope will become established at one of our coastal community colleges, at least one. Then I wanted to mention, in agriculture, we have given up the idea of a baccalaureate level program in agriculture at this university for the foreseeable future. However, Dr. Sykes mentioned that we are pushing specialty education in agriculture at the graduate level. And if it appears that there will be a demand, Al Opeson, the director of the Matanuska Assistant Community College, and I have been discussing the development of an associate in agriculture, possibly through that community college. This would be a 2-year applied agriculture program in that area. I also wanted to put just a little bit more stress on the health sciences. I've already indicated, as has Dr. Morrow, that we do provide pre-professional training in the medical sciences in the college, and we also have the paramedical training program of the medical technologist. In this program, our students take their 4th year as a 12-month internship at an approved affiliated school of medical technology. There are none of these in Alaska, so we have affiliations with 3 such schools in the state of Washington. The lack of the development of health sciences programs here on the college campus is largely due because of the lack of population that we have here in the Fairbanks area and the corresponding lack of medical facilities to use for training facilities. A number of people think that maybe the new hospital will take care of this. It will certainly go a long way in that direction. I'm still a little bit of a pessimist that the size hospital that's being planned, plus the population of Fairbanks, is still going to provide us with adequate laboratory, shall I say, for training in these fields. However, in Anchorage, we do have the population and also the medical facilities, and in many ways, we have a lot of very medical problems that show up in the Anchorage area as a result of bringing people in from all over the state that will certainly serve as a wonderful training ground in these fields. Currently, at the South Central Regional Center, we have training programs for the licensed practical nurse, for dental technologists, and for medical laboratory technologists. I have been trying for 4 or 5 years to get the Anchorage contingent started on an associate level program in nursing. I'm a strong believer that this is the level nursing program that we need in this state. However, the Anchorage contingent tells me that the Alaska Methodist University is currently inaugurating a baccalaureate degree program, and they prefer not to push the associate degree program until they see how the AMU program comes out, feeling that we should not undercut the baccalaureate program at AMU. Also, in the medical training area, we are working through the auspices of statewide services in the beginning of a development of a continuing education program in of seminars, short courses, and so on for the practicing medical and paramedical workers. One more thing I should mention, I guess you're probably well aware of it, that is the WICHE program, Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education. This is a program run by the cooperating states, of which Alaska is one of them, in which the legislature provides funds for our residents to go out to professional schools in the cooperating 13 states. It's a case where the have-nots can go to the have states as far as professional training. This is in medicine, dentistry, and veterinary medicine. So we're doing a lot for our people in the area of medicine, as much as I feel we can under the present circumstances, and we'll keep moving in this general direction. A couple of other college activities I just want to mention. Our faculty works a great deal with the museum in the development of our biological collections, the bird collections, the mammal collections, the fish collections, in particular, the herbarium, the plant collections also. These collections are extremely important scientifically and also from a research and teaching aspect. The college also edits and publishes at irregular intervals a monographic series called the Biological Papers of the University of Alaska. Seven of these have been published to date, of which two issues of number one have gone out of print. Dr. Dean, who has been the editor of the series for a long time, did a real scurry around cleanup job before he went off on his sabbatical leave and completed editing five additional manuscripts, which are all now in press. Dr. Morrow has taken over the job of interim editor. I have these published ones laid out on the tables, mimeograph sheets of the galley-proof title pages, just if you're interested in seeing the kinds of things that are covered here. In addition, the college also handles the data gathering of the Alaska Nest Record Scheme, a regional plan to accumulate data on nesting birds. So much for an enumeration of our activities. Looking to the future, as I indicated, we see an unlimited number of challenges and opportunities ahead of us as we develop the various programs of the college to best serve, as I say, humanity in general and Alaska in particular. The rapidity and the degree of development in every department within the college is limited solely by funds. We can go just as far and as fast as funds become available. Space is a problem too, but I'm lumping that along with the funds. I did some crystal ball gazing to come up with some estimates of needs in the immediate future. I'm thinking about 5 years in the future, looking at the growth curve here at the university. I think we're going to reach 4,500 students in 5 years. By the time we reach 4,500 students, our college will have 450 of them as majors. 80 of them, I predict, will be graduate students. For this load, we are going to need an additional 12 full-time teaching equivalents in the college. A part of this increase is due, of course, to graduate level work, and these take a little bit higher staffing. Each of these 12 full-time teaching equivalents should be involved in some kind of research program. So by the time you, on the teaching, you add a little bit of research, we're going to end up with another 16 or more faculty bodies that have to be housed. We also then have to have the additional classroom, laboratory, and teaching space. Let me conclude by listing what appear to be some of our immediate problems of our challenge to overcome in the immediate future. I've already mentioned a couple of them here in the process of the morning. One of them, I think we need to improve the environment for research within the colleges for the academic faculty. I've already alluded right now to the space. As the enrollment grows and faculty increases, we're going to need more space, both for faculty offices and research and for graduate space of one sort or another. We have a second phase of the biological sciences building under consideration. The latest plans indicate it's supposed to go into operation in 1972, another 70,000 square feet. I looked at that 70,000 square feet and I remember that that's what it was supposed to be, but this is way too small. I already hear that marine sciences wants half of it. I know that the Institute of Archaeobiology is counting on all of it. The Alaska Agriculture Experiment Station should have some of it, and I'll be darned if we're not going to have most of it ourselves. No, sorry, I'm very serious. That 70,000 square feet is not going to be anywhere near enough when you look at the opportunities for biology in instruction, research in this state. It isn't going to be enough. Well, I hope everybody heard that. Our college still lacks facilities for live plants and live animals. The Agricultural Experiment Station is currently putting in one greenhouse, something that we've been needing for years and years, and it's one that we are going to be able to use. But this is something when we look at the second phase of the biosciences building, we're going to have to do for the academic college. Another thing that we need, and this is again in relation to the graduate program, it's already been alluded to, I think, here, we need larger stipends for the graduate students in order to be anywhere near competitive with those of the South 48. In this day and age, people are getting paid to go to school and to learn, and it's a trend that some people like and some people don't, but it's one that we have to live with. Not only do we need larger stipends, but we need more stipends because people, as I say, will go where they can get paid. If we can't pay a graduate student to come here, he's going to go to UCLA, the University of British Columbia, and so on. Also, I think that we need, within the colleges, some funds, a limited number of funds, for research training purposes. Students that are on teaching assistantships, for instance, have to do their research program in the summer without stipends. I think that since we consider the thesis a part of the training program towards a master's degree, that in the academic colleges that we should have a minimum amount of funds to at least aid these graduate students in carrying on minimal research projects. And then I would just like to echo what has been said by some of the other colleges. Well, not entirely. The other colleges were all saying how they needed just more staff members. I not only want more staff members, as I've indicated, but based upon enrollment and growth, we can justify these. But over and above what I've told you, I think we need in numbers just to keep up to where we are. I think that our staff needs to have their loads lightened. Our staff are spread too thin when it comes to committees, teaching lower division, upper division, and graduate students, advising of graduate students, trying to do some research to keep up in their professional fields. And every so often you turn around and you look at this white-faced faculty member and you wonder what's the trouble. Well, they've just plain run out of energy. So I think that we also need somewhat improved loads for our faculty. And of course, our big competitive problem is faculty salaries also, not just graduate student salaries, but faculty salaries. Okay, if you're not too hungry, I'd love to have some discussion.
Pardon me, Dr. Kessel, did you indicate the amount of research that's being done at the present time?
Thank you. I've had my secretaries working for weeks, no, for 2 weeks, just to compile and bring up to date.
Oh.
And I handed this out to you. I went back to 1966. 1966 through 1968 are publications, manuscripts currently in press, projects that's currently underway, the graduate students' theses that have been completed since 1966, and the current projects of our graduate students as part of our research training program in college.
What part of research is being done at the university that would be helpful towards the management of the land in renewable resources?
What part that's currently going on?
Yes.
Well, all of the research that is being done in the Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit, and these projects are listed here, and in the Department of Wildlife Management, and all of the projects that will be developed in the Department of Land Resources, and then a high percentage of those basic problems in the Department of Biological Sciences, those will be more likely things like ichthyology, life histories of certain fishes, which then the management people will take and use for applicability. I'd say a very high percentage. Look over the title, isn't it?
Thanks. I didn't take time to do that.
Well, I'm sorry. I forgot to even tell you. I handed it out to you.
Are there any other questions? If not, we're adjourned till 1:30, and then we'll be right on schedule.